Okay, we are slowly ending the approaching the end of the year, and have to begin preparing for the mitzvah of tshuva, which culminates on Yom Kippur. That's the deadline for tshuva for the year, and it's by no coincidence, therefore, that in this week's Sedra it speaks about the mitzvah of tshuva. And it says, "Ki haMitzvah hazos asher anochi mitzavcho hayom." This mitzvah, and some commentaries say, the Ramban amongst them, that it's referring to the mitzvah of tshuva. Lo nifleishi mimcho v'lo rechokahi. It's not something beyond your grasp, and it's not far away from you. Lo bashomayim hi. It's not in the heavens that you should have to say, "Who will ascend to the heavens and bring it down?" It's not over the seas that you'd have to say, "Who would go over the seas and bring it to us?" Kikarov hadover ma'od beficho uvilvav chalasosa. It's very close to you in your mouth and your heart to do. That's basically the parasha. I want to explain what that is, what we can learn from those few sentences. Once a person sins, what will prevent him from doing tshuva is two possibilities. One is that he doesn't feel that the sin is all that important to do tshuva about. He doesn't realize the gravity of the sin. Or the opposite. Sometimes a person feels the sin is so great, it's so impossible for me to repent and to be atoned for. And the Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that's what it means. Lo bashomayim hi, lo me'ever layam. Don't think that tshuva is something very difficult, something beyond your grasp, something in the heavens, something across the sea. He says that when a person sins, he should realize that he causes tremendous blemishes in the heavens, in all of the spiritual worlds, in all of the higher levels of his neshama. He blemishes them through his sin. And also, he causes tremendous damage down here in this world, all over the world. Because it's like spiritual pollution, a sin. So a person could say, "Well, how in the world am I going to go up to the heavens and correct all the blemishes that I caused in all the spiritual worlds? And how am I going to go over the sea and go to all the places that I may have damaged spiritually by my sin?" So on that, the Torah says, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to correct all these things that you cause, but if you'll do tshuva with your mouth and your heart, right, then I will take care of correcting all the damage and blemishes that you caused. And the first idea is that a person feels that he's not capable mentally, intellectually, right? Lo nifleishi mimcho. It's not something beyond you, covered and hidden from you, and that you have to have something from the heavens to come and spark your tshuva. It's not something you can come with your own intellect, right? The person shouldn't think that, right? And he shouldn't think that you need tshuva from a certain place. I can't do it here. You need a certain place to do tshuva. As the Rav Yonason Apshit says, that when you're in Golus, you may think, "Well, I can't do tshuva here outside of Eretz Yisrael. You can only do tshuva in Eretz Yisrael, across the sea." Says, not true. And we find a Gemara that echoes this idea. The Gemara says there was an infamous sinner named Reb Elezer ben Durdoy. And in the midst of a sin, he was told that he's never going to be accepted to repent, and it made a very big impression on him, and he had this intense desire to repent. So he went and he said, the hills and the mountains should have mercy on me, help me. And they said, "We can't help you, we can't help ourselves." He said, "Okay, how about the heavens and the earth?" And then he says, "The sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations." And all of them said, "We can't help you." And then he realized, "Ein hadover toli libi. It depends on me. It doesn't depend on the heavens or the earth or the constellations or the sun or the moon. Right? It depends on me." And then he put his head between his knees and he cried. And with such an intensity, he repented that he died. And a heavenly voice resounded that he is going to get the world to come. So I was thinking to explain this in the following way. Originally, Reb Elezer ben Durdoy held that you need a certain place You have to get closer to God on a mountain, on a hill, right? You have to elevate yourself, then you can do tshuva. You can't do it from where you are now. You have to find a certain high place in the world. And or you need the heavens or the earth to arouse you to do tshuva. You can't do it on your own. It's not something you come to with your own intellect. You need a heavenly arousal. And or you need, what's it called, the sun and the moon, a certain time when tshuva is possible. Otherwise you can't do it. You need a certain time. Or the stars and the constellations. You need a certain, there's times in the day and then there's times in the year. Maybe you need a certain time of the year to do tshuva. And in the end he realized that none of that is true. And that, that's only that there's a certain time and place or whatever for everything under the sun. Everything in this physical world has a certain time and place for it. But tshuva comes from a world beyond this world. Tshuva is something that is above the sun. And therefore there's no set time. You can do it any time, in any place. And once one that explained that that's what the Torah was teaching us in the following. It says that when we sinned in Rephidim, Rephidim was a place where their hands were weak in the Torah. So it says that on this third month they came to Midbar Sinai. Okay, that's where we got the Torah. And then it says in the next sentence, Vayisu miRephidim, they left Rephidim and they came to Midbar Sinai. So the question is, we know they were in Rephidim. If it says they came to Midbar Sinai, then we obviously know they left Rephidim. So why did it have to say they left Rephidim and came to Har Sinai, right? I know they left Rephidim. So it comes to teach me the following. Just like when they came to Midbar Sinai, they already had repented. They repented. They came with tshuva. So too, when they left Rephidim, they already had repented. So the question is, why did you have to tell me that? Whenever you repent, it helps retroactively. So what do I care if they repented already in Rephidim, or they repented when they came into Midbar Sinai? In any case, it helps retroactively. So what's the lesson? Why do I have to know that? I was thinking the idea is the following. People sometimes say, I really want to do tshuva, but I can't do it now, I can't do it here. If my circumstances would change, I'd be able to do it. That's a fallacy. If you can't do it now, you won't do it later either. And therefore, if the Jewish people hadn't repented and refeed them, which was not conducive to tshuva, that was the place where they were weak and they sinned. But they hadn't done it there, and they would have said, well, we'll wait till we get to the desert of Sinai. There is more conducive for tshuva. They wouldn't have done tshuva there either. Tshuva depends on you. It doesn't depend on a time and a place and any other circumstances. If you're going to do it, you have to do it. And if you can't do it, you can't do it anyway. And that's why it says that after he looked to see if any of these things could help him do tshuva, and he realized it's only dependent on him, so he put his head between his knees to concentrate on what he was doing, to concentrate on the sin, that this is my I'm going to have to arouse myself and I'm going to have to carry this through. And he put his knees are the place that show that he can walk, that he can move. Either you're sitting or you're standing. The knees are the place where the hinges are that make you the ability to move on. He put his head between his knees, representing the fact that he has to concentrate now on his actions, on what he's going to do to promote his tshuva. And he, what's it called, began to cry, showed that he really wanted that tshuva, right? And then God will help him. Then the Rabbanu Shem will help you, right? It may be very difficult, but all you have to do is make the beginning. And that's why it says that, and therefore, even if he died, but his tshuva was successful, right? And that's how tshuva works. You make the first effort. Piskuli Pesach kechudo shel machat. You open a pin's hole, and I'll open it wide for you. And the Kutzker Rebbe says it has to be like a pin, sharp, right? But it has to be. Or Bedera Shadam Rotza Leilich Molichin Oso. And the way a person wants to go, that's the way they bring him. So you start, and the Rabbanu Shalom will make it work. It may be difficult. You may think it's beyond your control. It really is. But all you have to do is make the beginning. And that's why there's a hint to this in the words, Miyale Lonu Hashomaima V'Kocheho Lonu. Who will go up to the heavens and get it for us? You don't have to go up to the heavens. You can do it right down here. The words Mi Yale Lonu Hashomaima, the first letter spell Mila. And the last letter spell God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which I think the idea is the following. The goal is that God eventually should circumcise our hearts. Mol Hashem Elokecha, that will be in the end of time. God will circumcise our hearts and make us pure. But in this world, what do we have to do? We have to have circumcision on the body. We make the beginning. And then the Rabbanu Shel Olam will do his part. You do your small part in this world, and in the end, the Rabbanu Shel Olam will do his part. And that's why the Mila Yala Lanu HaShomayma, who will go up to the heavens, is Mila. All you have to do is do your part, your small part in this world. And then, Havaya, God will recreate you. He'll make miracles happen like he did when he created the world, and he'll recreate you too. The Shem Yishmuel says in the name of his father, the Avnei Nezer, that it says if it's not in the heavens that you have to go up and get it from the heavens, or across the sea that you have to get it across the sea. And the Gemara says, because if it would be, you'd have to go up there and get it. She says, but how can you go up there and get it? How can you go up to the heavens? He says, it doesn't make a difference. All you have to do is make the hishtadlus. All you have to do is make the effort. If you make the effort, God will see to it you can go up. If you had to go, he'd make sure you get up to the heavens too. If you had to go, he'd see to it that you went across the sea. But all you have to do is make the start. It's like, you know, Basparo. She put out her hand, and then it elongated. And that's what the Torah says. Ki korov hadover elecha. Tshuva is very close to you. And one of the Mefarshim, Rav Meir Michal Rabinowitz, I don't know who he is, but I saw a quote in his name, he says that the things in this world that are most necessary are most available. Oxygen, air, water are all over. The things that are less necessary, right, they're less available, like gold, silver, these kind of things. So he says, tshuva is so necessary that it's karov elecha, it's always there, it's always near you, it's like water and air. Right? And it's something that is because it's necessary, therefore what's it called, if you realize that it's necessary, then you'll make your effort to take care of it. Because something that's necessary for a person, for his very life, like oxygen and water, you make every effort to get it. You don't say, well, it's too hard, I'm not going to breathe now. Right? If you're, you know, you're drowning and you make every effort to get that air. Right? There's a story in Torah Tveliyo Rabbah, of a person who didn't even know Aleph Beis, totally ignorant, and he was mocking Eliyahu HaNavi, and he said that making fun of him. So Eliyahu said, you know, you can make fun of me, but what are you going to answer after 120 years when the first question they ask you is, did you learn Torah, and you don't even know the Aleph Beis? He said, no problem, I have a rehearsed answer. What is he going to say? He said, God made me stupid, I don't know how to learn. It's not my fault, it's God's fault. That's why I don't know Aleph Beis. Mm-hmm. So Eliyahu said, tell me, what do you do for a living? He says, I'm a fisherman. He says, well, tell me what you have to know to be a fisherman. He says, well, you have to know how to make nets, and you know how to have to know, catch the fish, and know how to clean them, and where to put the nets. So he said, it's interesting. For fishing, God gave you brains, and for Aleph Beis, he didn't give you brains? And the guy realizes that he's a self-contradiction, and he starts to cry. The Kutzker Rebbe asks, what was the fact? Was the guy dumb or not? If he really was dumb, how did he learn how to fish? And if he wasn't, how did he fool himself into thinking he was? Says the Kutzker Rebbe, he really was dumb. And he really couldn't learn how to fish. He was right. So how did he learn how to fish? But when you think, you know that something is do or die. If you don't learn how to fish, you don't eat. Right? You die. Then you learn how to fish. If he would have thought that the Torah was as important and as necessary as eating, then he would have learned Aleph Beis also. That's the same thing by Talmud Torah. Some say that this parsha, the mitzvah referred to, is not tshuva, but learning Torah. But learning Torah is the same thing. Learning Torah is way beyond a person's capabilities. It's heavenly. But you put in the effort, yogati, and matzasi, God will give you the Torah learning. He'll put the Torah into your mind. But you have to put in the effort. Same thing with tshuva. Tshuva may be something very difficult, but if you put in the effort, God will see to it that you will be crowned with success. And that's what it says, Ki karov elecha hadover. This thing, tshuva, is very close to you. When? Ma'od. When you want it a lot. When you want it enough. When it's ma'od. Because really it should have said, Ki karov elecha ma'od hadover. That's how it should have said. The ma'od, the very, is going on how close it is. It's an adjective to close. But here it's not. Ki karov elecha hadover. The thing is very close to you. When ma'old, when you really want it, when you want it a lot. And therefore it says b'ticha. The first thing you do is you verbalize a desire, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to do tshuva. Even if you don't regret the sin yet, you're not ready, but you verbalize it. Then the mitzvah, goreris mitzvah, when you make that in hishtadlus, and you say, I want to do tshuva with your mouth, then eventually in your heart you'll start regretting the sin, and you'll start to feel it. And then la'asoso. La'asoso is like in between. It means you do it, and it'll be done. Meaning, and then you'll be able to do it, but the doing won't be totally yours. God will help you do it. So la'asoso, right, it's going to be done, because you put in the effort, God will crown your efforts with success. And that's what we say. Shuvu elai, God says. You return to me. Vashuva, and I'll return to you. You make the first step. Hashiveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuva. Ribbono Shel Olam, you help us. And we always get help in doing shuva if you put in the effort first. But it has to be something that you really want to do, and you verbalize it, and then you have it in your heart, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam will help you to do it. And those are the hints to the month of Elul. The first one is Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. Starts with, I really want to get close to my beloved. Ani Ledodi, I want it. You show a desire, right? And then, I can't do it on my own. I need help from other people. Ish L'Reyehu Matonus Levyonim. Also spells Elul, right? People need to strengthen each other, right? You need to have, if you put in the effort, that's very nice, but sometimes the effort involves a group effort. So Ish L'Reyehu. And finally, if you put in the effort and you get the help of others to help you put in the effort, then Umol Hashem Elokecha Es Levavcha Veslevavs, God will circumcise your heart. You do your part, you get as much help as you can from the outside, and then God will see to it that you are successful. And the Ibn Ezra says, the main thing is what's in your heart. Sometimes you need to speak about things to get that idea in your heart. Sometimes you have to do things to get the idea in your heart, but all you have to do is have that tremendous desire, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam will. And you put it into action as much as you can, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will help you. So now these last days of Elul, says a person who does tshuva the last week of the year, or the last day of the year, is like he did it the whole year. So we have a tremendous opportunity to do tshuva now, or at least to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we're interested in doing tshuva. So then, when the Aseret Yemei tshuva comes, right, the Ribbono Shel Olam then will kick in and he will do his part. Because during Aseret Yemei tshuva, he comes closer and he makes it easier for us to do tshuva. And then we'll be zoche that by the time Yom Kippur comes, we'll be able, with our efforts and our desire, to be able to be successful in reaching a tshuva shleima and a ksiva v'chasima tova for ourselves and our families and for the school, for Klal Yisrael, and for the whole world. Okay. Ksiva v'chasima tova to all of you.